The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. You see, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. If not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. You see, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is a first edition of Dr. Seuss's last book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. When I read how Jesus sent 70 disciples to every town and place where he himself intended to go, I thought of this book. This is on the first page. You're off to great places, you're off and away. The basic theme of this book is that life is full of ups and downs. After a while, the main character is flying high in an air balloon. The book describes it this way: wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. The balloon gets caught in a tree. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true. Hang-ups can happen to you. This book is really about success. Near the end, we hear, "And will you succeed?" Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Oh, the places you'll go. The storyteller Luke is bringing us on a journey where Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. This journey won't always look like success. In fact, when he gets to Jerusalem, that first week will look like an utter failure when Jesus suffers and is crucified. Today we're at the beginning of what we call chapter 10 of Luke's story. Not long before this, at the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus sent out the 12 in the same way we heard he sent out the 70. And very soon after sending out the 12, Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000 with bread and fish. In my imagination, after that large meal of bread and fish, with 12 baskets of leftovers, in my imagination, Jesus looks out to the crowd and said, "By a show of hands, who is willing to join my mission to bring my peace, my healing, and my message to every town and place where I intend to go?" I certainly think 70 people would have raised their hands. Jesus never did ministry alone. Jesus still doesn't do ministry alone. The work of the church isn't limited to a small group of 12 apostles. In modern language, this means that the work of the church isn't limited to church leaders and pastors. Jesus appoints disciples to participate in his ministry. By our baptism, Jesus appoints each of us. We're appointed to bring Christ's peace, Christ's healing, his message into the world. I wrote a song in 2002 that I call the Baptism Song. The first words are, "You are anointed, God sent, appointed." Just as Jesus appointed the 70, we are appointed by our baptism. We are like the 70. We've been appointed to bring peace and healing and the message of Jesus into the world. And the message of Jesus is a message of forgiveness, a message of salvation, the message of eternal life. Probably the most well-known instruction that Jesus gave the 70 is this: some people don't want the peace or the message that Jesus offers. So he says, if they don't want it, shake the dust off your feet and walk away. But rarely, when that verse is quoted, do we hear what we're supposed to say after we shake off the dust of our feet. Jesus gave this as the instruction: shake off the dust, walk away, but tell them, know that the kingdom of God is near. When you shake the dust, you also proclaim God's love. We never stop proclaiming God's love. Jesus didn't say, shake the love off your feet. Jesus didn't say, shake the prayer off your feet. We love and we pray, even for those who reject. And Jesus obviously didn't say, stay there and argue and fight with them. Shaking the dust means to get away from abuse and anger. Shaking the dust means to get away from the wolves. And shaking the dust means not to become a wolf. And of course, being a disciple of Jesus isn't always easy. So before we tell others about God's offer of forgiveness and peace and unconditional love, we first need to receive God's forgiveness and peace and unconditional love. Remember that these 70 were fed by Jesus before they went out. Jesus nourished them. Jesus strengthened them. And after their mission, the 70 returned to Jesus. And that's what we do when we gather for worship. We receive forgiveness here. We're fed at the table. We're healed. And with these gifts, receiving these gifts, then we go out and we bring these gifts into the world. Oh, the places you'll go. Oh, the forgiveness you'll offer. Oh, the healing you'll participate in. Oh, the peace you will bring. I love that the 70 returned with joy. We didn't hear them complain how hard it was. They didn't report how many times they had to shake the dust. They didn't complain what they had to do without, the hurry that they were in. They didn't even complain that they didn't have to wear sandals. My goodness. They came back with joy. They rejoiced. And Jesus rejoiced with them. When we bring the message of Jesus, when we bring the peace of Jesus to others, we rejoice in this. Now, the people of this day would have understood Jesus very well when he said, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning." They would have understood that. In the mythology of ancient times, there was a heavenly council, a council in heaven. It was like a heavenly board. It was a boardroom with supernatural beings. And these supernatural beings in the mythology of the day, they made decisions on how things happen on earth. Satan was part of that council in chapter 1 of the book of Job. And Psalm 82 explains this really well. God comes to this council meeting and tells these supernatural beings that they're doing a horrible job of managing the way the earth goes. Why? Because they favored the wicked. Because they didn't protect the weak. Because they didn't help the needy. God tells them they're doing it all wrong. So God takes charge of the universe. And those supernatural beings, we're told, fell. I think Jesus had Psalm 82 in mind when he said he saw Satan fall from the sky like lightning, burning up into ashes. And because that happened, Jesus said, "Nothing will hurt you." And this means that the salvation of Christ, the eternity that Christ offers, cannot be taken away from us, cannot be destroyed. Nothing will harm that gift that God gives us, the gift of salvation. And that salvation is 100% guaranteed. Not 98.75% guaranteed, 100% guaranteed. Today's story is really, as Jesus talks about that ancient council in heaven, Jesus forms a new council, but it's not in heaven. The new council that Jesus forms is on earth. We are that new council. We are the council of God's love. We are the council of God's healing. We are the council that works to take care of all God's children. So we, the appointed ones, bring the peace and the healing and the love of God to others. We do that with kindness and generosity. We feed the hungry. We take care of God's children. We return often to Jesus in prayer and worship so that we can be strengthened and equipped to be part of this new earthly council. To be successful and faithful. To be good disciples of Jesus. We return again and again into the presence of Jesus. And when we do, oh, the places you'll go. I close with my favorite part of the story. As disciples, Jesus tells us that our names are written in heaven. Our names are written in God's own handwriting in heaven. Heaven is our ultimate destination on this journey of life. Heaven. Oh, the place you'll go. Let us pray. Gather into your thoughts, your world, your life, all that's going on in your life now. Gather into your thoughts the world of those you love, those close to you, those around you. Gather into your thoughts the world of this congregation. Gather into your thoughts what's going on in the whole world, in every village, in every city, in every nation. With these thoughts in mind, listen to the voice of God speaking to all these places. God says, "My peace is here for you. My healing is here for you. My forgiveness is here for you. My joy is here for you. My grace is here for you. My love is here for you." And know this, my children, your name is written here in heaven.